Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the preliminary discretionary fund committee meeting on today's date. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Here.
Rachel is absent. Ms. Gatewood?
Here.
From Blackburn? Bonnie, here.
I'm here.
Here.
Officially, you're here.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, before us, we have the meeting minutes from last wrap-up meeting on January 11th. I don't know if we've had time to brief those. So do I hear a motion to approve the meeting minutes from last January 11th?
Move to approve.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Okay, under new business, report from myself as the chair. I think this year we're going to have a challenge. This is my fourth year on the committee, and I think you both have longer tenure than I do, so you've probably seen more than I have. But the challenge this year is, although we have more funds to give out, oh, there's Karen.
Hi.
We can show that Karen's here now.
Yes.
Hey, Karen, you haven't missed much.
You missed a roll call.
Yeah. So anyway, the challenge is to take those 26 applicants and with a total over $1 million and somehow make everybody happy with $400,000. I look forward to that challenge. I think each and every one of you probably are on the same boat as I, that we've always done a good job and been fair about our donations. I don't think we've ever had a complaint that I know of. I did want to go over the committee policies and procedures. Those are included in your packet. And I think we need to, when we brief ourselves on when we read the different applications, I think we need to keep in mind that the grant guidelines that are we need to enforce, that to contribute significantly to the growth and promotion of Fairbanks, that's number one, and the monies must supplement a successful ongoing program of activities for a new program that will need initial support to accomplish its stated goals. those we need to keep in mind. There's also other things, but of which I think all of us are aware of. I think the goal of today's meeting is to set some times up for the presentation in the distribution meeting. Other than that, that's all I had to input today. Looks like we committee as far as looks like Ms. Bell is on deck now.
Good morning, committee members. The first thing I did want to note, Mr. Marnie, is on the policies and procedures, the discretionary grant funds will be $270,000, and that has now been approved by council at $400,000. So I just wanted to make that note for you all. Just to update you on your applicants from 20 that you awarded last year, and I wanted to let you know that Fairbanks Racing Lions did not accept the funds, so they were all returned. And the second agency that we're working with that have not completed an annual report, but they did not apply, was Fairbanks Tired Iron. So I just wanted to update you on your previous awardees, I should say, and where they are status-wise. We are working with Fairbanks Tired Iron on their paperwork and turning in the necessary documents. And with that, that moves us on to this year. We've completed our review. And before I begin, I'd like to introduce our grants administrator, Sarah First. And Sarah will be working with you through this process. So you'll see us both together, and then next year Sarah will take the lead in this with this committee. So I wanted to introduce our grants administrator. And we reviewed the applications, and as in the past, I will ask if they are, I will state what problems we found with an application without disclosing the name of the agency. And we are seeking from you whether or not the agency is not eligible based on the criteria of the application. So the first app area that I wanted to bring to your attention is an agency provided an October balance sheet and an income and expense statement. According to the application, you requested that the current year financials should be either August or September. So that is the first item I wanted to get your opinion, whether or not this applicant is eligible.
Sam?
Is this an applicant that has been approved in the past and has followed all the guidelines in the past? Or
this is a new applicant.
A new applicant. And do you feel like you made it clear what the dates were that you needed to have?
Right. The dates are stated within the application that they are to provide a balance sheet. It states, the way the application states, it says balance sheet as of August 31st, 2023 or September 30, 2023. And then it says income and expense statement for year to date as of August 31, 2023 or September 30, 2023.
And did they have an explanation for why they weren't within those guidelines?
No, they do not. They provided the October statement versus the August or September.
Chrissy.
I believe as a committee that we have done a really good job, as well as your staff, you and your staff, of laying out the criteria. It's in writing. If people have questions, you have been available to answer questions. So I am not inclined to make an exception for what our policies are for applicants.
Karen, any input?
I agree with Tracy on that one.
Okay. So do we need to take a vote? Okay. All that in favor of not accepting the application, say aye.
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 Margarita, although Tom's not on the committee yet, is he able to answer questions or be part of this discussion?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think I see because he's approved at the next council meeting. Yeah. Am I correct?
Okay. So that was 5-0?
Yes.
Okay.
We might, I'm looking to Diana. Yeah, to make sure I'm not
think
stating
I'm have
anything.
To ask Danny real quick, because
okay,
and then she's listening, and maybe.
Well, maybe we can move on to the next.
Okay, the next one
answer in a minute. Sorry.
Is missing the logo page.
Hmm.
The statement, the application states that if you receive funds in the prior year, the way it's worded, it says that applicants that received a discretionary fund grant in 2023 must provide the following: copy of the annual report and copies of documents or pictures that demonstrate the use of the discretionary grant fund logo.
I hate to repeat myself, but again, we have criteria that's in writing for all applicants to follow. And if the criteria are not being followed, then I don't believe we should advance the application. We have talked about the logo page in the past where folks have missed it. And I believe that we upheld that the standard is the standard. And I, again, would be inclined to ensure that we are following our own process and not making exceptions.
Sam?
Sadly, I agree with all of you on that. We did make a decision last year and probably the year before with that same question. And so we have to be true to the policies that we have. But I also want to add that I have been so impressed with the number of people who've done a good job of that this year. It's not a surprise that it needs to happen, and I have seen the city logo all over the place. So I'm thankful that people are, most of the people are listening.
Karen?
I agree. Just being a grant writer myself, knowing that there are regulations and standards we must uphold to those that are set forth. So.
Okay. Well, I got the decision from Danny. You can ask questions, but you can't vote as of yet.
Okay, sounds
good. So let's have a vote on this one. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Well, that was unanimous.
Okay, the next agency we have, based on the application, it states a detailed listing of group miscellaneous or other income and or expenses if they total 10% or more of the applicant's total income and or expenses. And the agency had 26.2% in other income that was not defined.
I think we've seen this before. Sam?
That one is easy for me. We need to understand how the funds are being spent.
Tracy?
I agree.
Karen?
I agree.
Okay, so that's 5-0.
Okay. The next one we had was in the same situation where the expenses were not explained. This one is slightly unique in that it was $100. But because they only had $300 in expenses, it put them over the percentage. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. In most cases, the amounts are high. The one I mentioned earlier had 40-something thousand unexplained. But this agency had $100. So I wanted to call that to your attention for this next one that had 26.3%. It was only because of the dollar amount. So,
Tracy?
The process is the process.
Do we all agree?
Sadly.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that I made you aware of how much we were talking regarding that.
And Marguerite, are these people that have filed before?
That one was a new one.
Okay.
Yeah. The next agency, this one is unique, and that the balance sheet for the current year stated balance sheet, but it was the same information in an income and expense statement. So I don't know if it was their intent to give us an income and expense statement and label it balance sheet, but it had the same detail of their income and expense statement that they had provided.
Sam?
So what'd they say when you ask them?
I don't have any discussion with them. When we review the applications, I will answer any question they have. But once they submit it to the clerks, and then I'm doing the review for this committee, I do not make any contacts with the agency at all regarding their application.
How long did they have for the application process that they could have asked you a question?
As soon as it's posted, I've actually filled questions before it comes out. But usually in October, I'm available for them. We did the training. We did a training at noon one day on a Wednesday at noon. So we have offered.
Did you have attendance at that? Were there people who showed up there?
We only had two that attended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and they were both online.
Discussion? Tracy?
So intent does not matter for me. So if it's not the information that we requested, it's non-compliant.
Everybody agree?
Sadly.
Yes, I agree. Although I know I'm kind of like on the fence because like some, I don't know, it's just QuickBooks and I don't know, but I agree because it's like you know better. So I agree. It's a hard one, but I agree.
Okay, that's unanimous.
Okay, the next two agencies, the next one did not provide annual report or logo, and they received funds. So based on your decision regarding the logo and the earlier one, I would state that that one is not eligible, but I just would like a ruling on when they're missing an annual report. So that when Diana sends out, when Ms. Hebel, I should say, Hebel, sends out the notices, she can state that it was due to these two issues versus the one.
Tracy?
Again, it's not compliant if they did not provide the annual report. And I would just like to say that for many years, I was the director of the grants department for the school district. So I have written grants, I've reviewed grants, I wrote the initial regulations for the grant certification on the federal level. And I understand that mistakes can happen. However, if we veer from the process and we start making exceptions, it really does, it devalues our process. And the folks who are providing what we ask, following the rules, the regulations, the policies that we have, it's a disservice to them. So I'm hopeful always that when people have these instances where they are ineligible before they even start the process, that they can learn from that. And next year, should they apply, that they pay a little bit more attention to detail and make sure that if they have questions or concerns, that they utilize the resources that are available to them.
I agree. Sam, any input?
No, Tracy's absolutely correct.
Okay.
And honestly, in the long-term best interest of this process and of the groups that are applying, they, as she said, they need to read the rules, and next year, hopefully, they'll do better.
Okay. Karen, anything?
No, I agree.
Okay. Well, that's unanimous also.
Okay. And the last agency that I would mention had the missing logo page. So with that, I will provide a list of those agencies and state for the record the reason for them being removed from the process. And the first one is North Pole Community Chamber of Commerce. They provided balance sheets and income and expense statements for October. Fairbanks Children Museum did not provide the logo page. Georgeson Botanical Garden Society had miscellaneous income in excess of 10% with no details. Northland Youth Choir had, and just for the record, they were the $100 one. They had 26.3% with no information regarding the 10%, the other expenses. University of Alaska Museum of the North provided an income statement versus a balance sheet for the current year. Alaska Songbird Institute did not provide the annual report or logo page. Literacy Council of Alaska did not provide the annual report, logo page, and providing an October income and expense statement. And World Ice Alaska Association did not provide the logo page. And those are the agencies that did not comply with the application rules.
I have a quick question. What was the second one that you listed?
The second one that I listed was Fairbanks Children Museum.
Sorry, third.
Georgeson Botanical Garden Society.
Thank you.
Sam?
So that raises actually two more questions for me. The one of the questions is, you said Ice Alaska?
Yes, I did.
They logoed us all over the world. I mean, honestly, they had logos everywhere except in this application.
Right, yeah. And keep in mind that I'm reviewing their original applications. Per our guidelines, we said the originals, the one that you mark original is the one that will be reviewed. And that's what we reviewed, the original.
Margaret, can you go over that list? Well, Sam, did you have something else?
I just had one other question, too, if you don't mind. As I looked at the North Pole Community Chamber of Commerce, it raised a lot of questions. They ask for a fair sum of money. And first of all, I guess my question is, this is a city distribution of funds, but that's really a borough issue. So I don't understand exactly how the discretionary funds work exactly, because I understand that the North Pole Motel participates, right, hotel participates in the distribution of this. So North Pole is invited to apply for Fairbanks city funds?
Well, that's when this committee comes into place. Take, for example, Tananaw Valley State Fair is outside of the city limits. So it is up to them to prove to this committee that they are providing economic development in the city of Fairbanks. So I would think if North Pole Community Chamber of Commerce had applied, and let's say they went through the first round, I would expect that they would demonstrate to you as a committee that they are providing economic development within the city of Fairbanks. And if they don't, then I would expect this committee to zero them out during the process.
And then, just to follow, if you don't mind, they requested $270,000. Is that correct? Somewhere in that range?
Yeah,
that's
it was
about what the total pot was. So did they do their homework? And what's really tied to that question that will help me in further decisions is, I've never seen so far a grant that applied for a building construction. You know, where does our, I mean, we've seen four-wheelers and things like that that perhaps would be capital projects. But there needs to be some sort of, some way to communicate that we're not here to assist in building.
Right, and I think it's something that the committee can look at when you do your, wrap-up this go-round. And I think there has been some discussions about looking at the application itself. And that, I think, is the place where you can start defining some of these things that you really want to see. But that doesn't mean that an agency would not apply. They still might apply.
Yeah.
But then it would be up to you as a committee, if they pass through the first phase, it would be up to you as a committee to say yes or no. We don't feel that it fits.
Well, I'm just thinking
funds.
About the policies and procedures, and perhaps that'll be corrected because we do have a draft application for next year, right?
Yeah.
Perhaps that's where,
yeah, we do.
Where that will be discussed.
It's something I plan
yeah.
on we need to work on
yeah.
in the January meeting.
Okay.
And maybe another meeting after that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. So could we go over that one more time, please?
Sure. The agencies that did not pass phase one was North Pole Community Chamber of Commerce, Fairbanks Children's Museum, Georgeson Botanical Garden Society, Northland Youth Choir, University of Alaska Museum of the North, Alaska Sonberg Institute, Literacy Council of Alaska, and Ice Alaska.
Thank you. Okay.
And I'll give this chart to
Donna. Anything else, Margarita?
That'll be easy for her. That is all I have. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, thank you. Any questions at this point? Hey, it looks like next thing on the agenda is, do we Zoom or not Zoom? Anybody got any input on that? Sam?
When possible, I think it's better for us to be present, but I think Zoom needs to continue to be an option for all the variety of reasons that we've used it.
Okay. Tracy, same way? Karen? Well, the thing I would like to is just like at council, it's better when somebody's live versus somebody's on the screen. So I don't know how we would emphasize it would be better for them presentation-wise if they're here live. I don't know how we voice that. Any suggestions?
So I think we can state it, but if we're making it an option, I hope that we won't allow our, you know, any type of unconscious bias to shadow our view if people cannot make it live. So I think we can state it, but be clear with them and ourselves that there's no penalty if they are unable to be here live and need to use Zoom.
Yep, thank you. Karen?
I agree.
Okay. Sam?
I agree with that, but in my heart, what I'm really saying is that as a matter of respect to the people who've gone to the trouble to write these grants, it really would be nice if we were here to discuss with them, but if I am in a car wreck and break my leg on the way here, I'm not going to make it. So,
okay.
I mean, there should be a reason that prevents me from being here, and that may be COVID. Who knows?
Diana, do you know how we would voice that to the rest of the applicants?
That they should make a, maybe just boldly state that they should make an effort to be here.
Okay.
Every effort.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
Okay, let's move on. We'll get that decision. Okay, we're down to committee member comments. Karen, would you like to start?
I have no comments at this time.
Thank you. Tom, do you have any comments? Okay. Tracy?
No.
Sam?
I'm a little heartsick at some of those agencies that are dropped out, especially, I guess, the one that was most shocking to me is how frequently I saw the logo on the World Ice Alaska. You know, that's the way it goes.
Well,
but
I know
that is a primary, you know, that is a really important event. We want to support that event.
Well, it reminds me of 2 years ago when we had kind of the same scenario. We had 31 applicants, and about 10 of them had issues.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Some of them were major.
That really surprised me that she had so many.
Well, I know Bernie's usually the very last to get his paperwork in, so I don't know if they just rushed it. I don't know. I'm sure we'll hear about it. Tracy?
Well, I just want to say that I appreciate the process of we get the issue before we know the name, and that way it keeps us true to the process because, yeah, I too, you know, most of these are just like this. I know they do good work for the community. I've seen logos around town as well, but, again, if it's not complying with our process, we just have to make sure that we're staying true to what we say.
Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda is setting up dates for presentation and distribution. So those are, that calendar's in the very back of the packet. I do have one input. I got a call from Jessica Pena. It was with the Arts Association. She's gone out of state from December 5th through the 11th. So she can be here on the 12th and following. I also talked to Rachel that's on the committee, and she cannot be here on the 8th. So other than that, looks like we've got towards the middle, kind of like what we did last year. So anywhere from the 12th through the 20th. So I know everybody should have brought their calendars. So anybody want to begin? Sam?
Just to start the discussion, I propose December 13 for the presentation meeting.
Okay. Any conflicts? Tracy?
That is a questionable day. If we're starting at the 12th, really the only day that I am 100% sure is the 19th of December. Let me just take another look at the 13th if other folks can do the 13th to see if there's any way that I can. So if this is the presentation meeting, that would be at 5:30?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So then I can make a change and make that work if it works for everyone else.
So we all agree the 13th for the presentation. Okay, on the distribution. I know last year we did back-to-back, and it was, it wasn't stressful, but it was, we were busy. Does the 15th work for anybody? It's a Friday night.
It won't work for me. I'm actually on a flight out.
So okay.
The 19th, I'm back in state and available at noon on the 19th.
Okay. Does that come, Sam?
My preference would be to get done on the 13th.
Well,
for the distribution?
Both.
Yeah.
I don't know.
As I get closer to the holidays, I get overwhelmed.
So is the 14th open for everybody?
The 14th is open for me.
Tracy?
It's not open for me. I'm training all day.
Okay.
And then I leave on Friday, and I'm back on Tuesday. Now, when you say the same day, are you thinking like the night of? It's like going later?
Yeah. Just do it. For me, I would love to do whatever needs to be done on the 13th.
Well, it doesn't give us much time. Danny, you have input?
I would not recommend that the committee adjust its meeting schedule around applicants. That's a precedent.
Okay. So back to the...
Yeah, that's interesting, because there's more than one person in the organization who can do a presentation, I'm sure.
And they have a remote option.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've already decided the presentation, correct? It's going to be on the 13th?
Yeah, I mean, the committee can change anything right now. Mm-hmm. I just suggest that if the 13th is what you want, that's fine. But the reasoning should not be because of an applicant.
Okay.
Good point. Thank you.
So what are we going to do with the presentation? That's on the 13th. Okay, the distribution
I meant. Move it to Friday the 1st.
Yeah, I'm available Friday the 1st.
And then when would we do the distribution? On the 8th?
I'm available Friday the 8th.
Perfect. Rachel's not going to be here on the 8th.
Oh,
7th?
I have a different board meeting on the 7th. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Oh, well, I'm in training during the 8th. Okay, nope, not the 7th.
Is Karen, is the first good for you?
The first is good for me.
So then if the 13th could we do the, well, that's a long time. Mm-hmm.
Is there, Margaret, has there ever been that big a gap?
It's up to the committee. If they want to do the presentation on the first, and they can turn it in at any time. And I always make sure I have a copy of it, whatever they submitted, so that they can have it that evening. That noon to read into the record. So if it's the first and the 12th or the first and the 13th at noon, either one would work. Because I think you said that a committee member was not available on the 11th, right?
On the 8th, excuse me.
Oh, she's not available on the 8th,
yeah.
But available on the 11th?
Yes.
Oh, okay then. But yes, it is fine. It's up to the committee.
Mm-hmm. But we want to do the presentation on the 1st and then do the distribution on the 13th?
Works for me.
Okay, be it so. Okay, any other comments before we adjourn?
Thank you for getting the extra funds that, even though it's not as much as was requested, it beats the heck out of $270,000, so thank you.
Yeah.
Second that, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go to the well again for a while. The only other comment I had, I know we talked about last in the wrap-up meeting about the 3 minutes and the 2 minutes, and I thought about this, that I think we decided that we could extend the time, but I'm thinking that the presenters have 3 minutes, and then each of us should be allowed 2 minutes to ask questions. Does everybody agree? Because I know we ran into a little bit of the length of time between...
Because I talked too much.
Between Sam's questions and I think Tracy had a few questions, but I want to make sure that everybody on this committee gets their questions answered. Comment? Tracy?
So when you say each of us has 2 minutes, that's 2 minutes to engage back and forth to get the response and not a whole pot of 2 minutes. And so how many members do we have on the committee?
Well, there's six of us, actually five this year.
So that's 10 minutes. That's 13 minutes per individual. And we have 18 people. Where does that put us with time?
Well, if we went by last year, only I don't know, Karen, if you had a question. I believe I might have had a few.
No, I didn't have many questions because Miss Sam asked a lot. So she covered a lot of my questions.
So you want to play it by ear, or do we? I just want to make sure that nobody's left out.
So theoretically, it would be 4 hours if we all, at or around 4 hours, if we all ask questions, which, you know, if we start at 5:30 going to 9:30 is not necessarily a bad thing. I think my suggestion, rather than 3 minutes or 2 minutes per person is just to expand the pot of available minutes, and then just so we have some kind of cutoff that we can rely on, because if someone starts asking a question and, you know, they get to the end of my 2 minutes, then I'm into someone else's 2 minutes, and then it could kind of snowball. And I understand last year, Sam and I were kind of the ones asking most of the questions, but that may not be the case this year. So recommendation.
Well, he was very good at cutting me off.
Yeah.
Well, I think I was getting the evil eye from somebody.
And we can, you know, be more aware of our questions. We can all wait. Why am I talking or why am I not talking? So anyway, I'm just prone to like more structure than just 2 minutes per person.
Diana.
Danny says that maybe we could suggest that we limit the applicant's response to 1 minute per question.
Wow.
And
that means I have to ask more questions.
Well, even that feels a little off to me, because if there is a question and it really does need a minute and 15 seconds, are we really going to cut people off? And who's going to be the person really going, it's been a minute, you know? So it's like if we have a pot, okay, well, if you're up for it, I can live with it.
Well, let's play that by ear. Sam?
You will be glad to know that in my first reading, I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
You just okay. need to know that.
Well, I've got to know you. So anyway, we'll try to keep time as a thought and limit, you know, how many questions we have. But it's important. If you got a question, Sam, ask it.
Okay. I will, but I'll get the evil eye.
Okay. Margarita?
Mr. Marty, maybe a suggestion might be to limit the full time with that agency. And then you're giving that agency that full time for question and answers.
Instead, for example,
you have the agency has so that 3 minutes, but maybe among the committee you have a total of 7 minutes or something like that.
And that is what feeds my soul, is it's like, okay, if it's a 10-minute block per agency, they have their 3 minutes. We have a total of 7 minutes for folks to ask questions. And if Sam and I are, you know, monopolizing the questions, we can ask, you know, go to someone else first to get their questions before we come back to us for questions. So that process feels more...
So what time, what do we want to set the time at? 10 minutes?
I think 10 minutes is good.
Karen?
I agree.
Okay, let it be so. Sam, you agree?
I do. That some of these people, you know, have a hard time explaining their program, and mm-hmm. I don't want to cut any of their good thoughts off. I want to state for the record right now, I really appreciate all of these guys. I really want to be respectful to them and to hear the amazing things that they're going to do with this funding program.
Okay. That's what we're all about. Okay. Any other comments? Then let's adjourn. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah.